south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, just another reminder, if you're seriously interested in coming to my next Expat Insider Seminar, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll put you on the short list. Remember, it's a week long, and we're tentatively looking at February 2024. All right, let's talk about something I don't think we've ever spoken about before. Those crazy, weird, sometimes eye-opening smells that inevitably hit you when you're traveling through foreign countries. Of course, you know, it's not just different food smell and the different smells associated with different flora and fauna and garbage. There's also the human smells, the so-called BO. You know, I'll never forget, about 25 years ago or so, I read a big, thick book about Cortez and his conquest of the Aztecs. And I remember in the book, the Aztecs saying, Cortez's men smelled so bad that some of the indigenous people would actually gag when they got near them. And that the indigenous women these conquistadors enslaved were so repulsed by the way these guys smelled. They'd put various plants, herbs, and incense up their noses when they had an encounter with these guys. Like you may have heard people do during a war when there's lots of dead bodies around. Stick various things like cigarette butts up their nose so they don't have to smell it. The thing is, back then during the indigenous Aztec days, they had plenty of water and they'd take a bath or wash up every day. But Cortez's boys, the conquistadores, almost never. Anthropologists even found that the skulls of the Spaniards showed that their teeth and the bones around their teeth were in terrible shape, meaning the ones that lived to old age, which was probably around 50, had terrible gum disease, what our parents and grandparents would have called pyorrhea. So you can imagine what kind of killer halitosis these guys had. Whereas the indigenous folks, the Aztecs, when anthropologists looked at their skulls, it seemed only the wealthy and royal classes had bad teeth. Surely because they were on a different diet than the regular folks. Lots of sugar, lots of sweets, which were prized and expensive way back when. The kind of stuff only the wealthy people and the royals could afford. Anyway, the topic is BO. Believe it or not, a recent list of the 20 countries with the worst body odor has been compiled. It came about from a very large Reddit survey. Very interesting reading. Some surprising stuff in there too. That's why I brought it up and why I'm going to hit the highlights now. So then how did they do that survey and how did they compile the data? Well, they asked this question. Which countries have you visited and which ones have the worst body odor? Apparently, those people surveyed would have had to have visited at least 10 countries and then ranked them for obvious BO. That way, they could disqualify people who said they only, let's say, visited 3 countries in their life. For example, Australia, Canada, and Italy, and the Italians stunk the most. That would not be a good representative sample. A person had to be more worldly than that to be part of the survey. Now, if a person visited at least 10 countries, then the data had relevance. So without further ado, let's talk about some of the principal results that came from this stink survey. To stink or not to stink? That is the question. Here's the countdown, starting with country number 20, Vietnam. You know, I heard tales like that from some of my buddies and my buddies' friends who went to Nam and came back, you know, in the 60s and the 70s during that infamous war. In fact, one of my buddies, who was a bass player, I replaced when he got drafted into Nam. He came back and said, yeah, pretty stinky over there. But then again, he said, us soldiers in the bush, we sweated our asses off and sometimes didn't get a shower for 3 or 4 days either. So we could be just as ripe as they were, sometimes worse. All right, number 19, the Philippines. By the way, in this survey, and if you want a copy, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. It turns out, when they list each country, they also list a paragraph and the reasons why there might be an intrinsic or existential BO problem. You know, cause and effect. For example, country number 18 on the body odor list is Nepal. The reason given is that deodorant is not a widespread commodity in Nepal. In fact, it says deodorant is only available in higher income areas and the common people don't use it at all. Number 17 on the BO list is Iran. In fact, it says the world's stinkiest guy is probably an Iranian named Amu Haji, 80 years old, who resides in the isolated town of Dijeh in South Iran. According to the Tehran Times, he hasn't had a bath in 60 years and despises water. Although it says there's a guru in India named Kalish Singh, running a close second as the stinkiest guy in the world. He's 69 years old, lives in the holy city of Varanasi in India. He's a guru, a holy man, who hasn't bathed since 1974, around 50 years. It said he stopped taking baths and cleaning himself on his wedding day. Number 16 on the BO list, Saudi Arabia. Number 15, Turkey. Now, the stink data on Turkey is pretty interesting. In fact, there was a big international clamor on Twitter back in 2010. Turns out an American basketball player named Danny Granger said something on his Twitter blog, something that really pissed off the entire Turkish population. Turns out, for the World Basketball Championship, he traveled to Turkey. And according to his blog, he said that Turks don't use deodorant and smell like dead donkeys. It was read by millions and caused quite a diplomatic incident. All right, country number 14 on the worst BO list, Iraq. Number 13, Indonesia. Though, as it turns out, there is some headway and recognition of that problem being made in Indonesia. In fact, it says the owner of the newest motorcycle sharing firm, Iris Walendi, believes he's discovered a novel strategy for increasing sales by employing less smelly drivers. Turns out they hire people and grade applicants for the job while they stand with their arms out in front of a fan that replicates the headwind of a motorcycle ride. They just don't hire people whose perspiration and underarm odor are obnoxious. So, A for effort, right? All right, stinky country number 12, Thailand. Number 11, Cambodia. By the way, if you think this is a biased survey that Americans think everyone else stinks, but they don't. Well, I'm sure you've heard or read somewhere that people from other countries think we smell. We have odors. I remember an engineer I knew. He was from Cameroon, black guy. He used to tell me when he lived back in Africa, they could always tell when an American came in the room. Even with their eyes closed, there was a certain smell. Which is why, I guess, number 10 on our most smelly country list is the USA. Surprise, surprise. Of course, we all know the USA is a melting pot of every single different culture, so maybe that's to be expected. But it is surprising, and according to a survey by the worldwide research and opinion business, YouGov, well, guess what? There's another good reason. America ranks number 10 on the BO list. Because, as it turns out, young Americans, generations Y and Z, it turns out, take fewer baths and use less deodorant than their older counterparts, those baby boomers and Gen Xers. All the deodorant firms have marketing data to prove that. So if you thought this BO survey was biased in favor of the American culture, you'd be wrong. It seems younger generations are getting stinkier and stinkier. Moms and dads, what are you teaching your kids? In fact, according to that YouGov survey, 4 in 10 Americans, that's 40%, between the ages of 18 and 24, say they haven't used antiperspirant or deodorant in the past month. That's a pretty revolting development. Although, as you listeners probably know already, deodorants are made of synthetic chemicals with very long names and thus have their own problems. That said, as for me, I personally don't buy any deodorant that has aluminum or aluminum chlorhydrate in it. That's what probably 98% of deodorants have in them to block the perspiration. Yep, first principles, blocking the sweat pores. Nice idea, right? And practical, except for the fact that aluminum is toxic to the human body. It's not a component in any of our biochemical systems. Yet, it is found in the brains of nearly everyone who's died with Alzheimer's. Whereas 100 years ago, they never found it in people's brains because it wasn't ubiquitous in our pots and pans, utensils, cans, containers, and deodorants. Truth is, you can find deodorants that don't have aluminum in them, though they are more expensive and they don't work quite as well. But that's another story. In fact, one gringo expat friend of mine has both of them in his bathroom cabinet. He's got the expensive natural one that he uses almost every day. And he has the one with the aluminum that really blocks the perspiration for when he has to go to a formal party or gig and doesn't want to suffer, ring around the armpit in mixed company. All right, number 9 on the worldwide BO list is Australia. Turns out, according to a Canadian McGill University study, Australia's performance in the area of hygiene and grooming falls well below the world average. Number 8, the Czech Republic. And one of the reasons given there is that more than 50% of adult Czechs are moderate to heavy cigarette smokers. Number 5, Russia. Figured that would come up on the list, huh? The reasons given there are that Russians do not change their clothing every day and bathe much less frequently than Westerners. Number 6, Bangladesh. Number 5, Pakistan, which, by the way, is one of the top producers, exporters, and consumers of spices, which explains a lot. Number 4, which may be a surprise to you, but it's not to me, Germany. Now, being that I'm of German extraction, I've visited Germany quite a few times, and I have to say, in all my life, the stinkiest individual I ever came across, a person who wasn't like a street vagabond anyway, he was 100% German, and I met him in Berlin. I'm talking about a workaday person just doing his job, but stinking to high heaven, and I don't suppose he even knew it. That's the problem, right? People who stink usually don't know it. He was a 30-something German bellboy I was stuck in an elevator with for about 5 floors in a high-end German hotel I was staying at. I mean, look, this guy was so rancid, I almost passed out in the elevator from holding my breath. Even now, looking back on it, I could picture the incident clearly. I can almost catch a whiff. By the way, in a poll done by global research site, onepoll.com, they asked 15,000 women from 20 different countries to rate guys from different countries as lovers in bed. By the way, if you want this study, I could send you this one too. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Anyway, turns out in this 15,000 women poll, German men were considered the world's worst lovers. Why? They were considered too smelly, too odoriferous, whereas English lovers came in second. Not because they're smelly, but because they were considered too lazy in bed. By the way, just a teaser here. Do you know which country came in number one as having the best male lovers, according to 15,000 women polled? Yeah, that old Latin lover cliche just may not be a cliche as it rears its head again. No pun intended. Well, it's Spain. All right, BO country number 3, France. Well, you knew it had to be up there somewhere, right? According to research by the Daily Star, almost 50% of French men and women don't take a daily bath or shower, with 1/4 of French men and women saying they take a shower about every 2 days, 11% every 3 days, and 8% only once every 4 days to a week. By the way, according to the journal Scientific American, scientists have discovered a gene called ABCC11, which determines whether people produce wet or dry earwax. So what's this got to do with anything? Interestingly enough, people who produce dry earwax also lack a chemical in their armpits that bacteria feed on to cause underarm odor. So if you have dry earwax, you have this gene, and it's the key gene that is basically the single determinant of whether you do produce underarm odor or not. It turns out, a lot of people produce reams of underarm sweat with no odor. Others produce little sweat with lots of odor. All depends on that gene. Just check your earwax, folks. By the way, I have that article, too, if you want to read it. I have all these articles. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Which begs the question, do you have smelly genes or not? Turns out, though, and most people don't want to hear this, whole cultures and races have smelly genes. Though with a country like the U.S., it's a mixed bag. All right, number 2 on the human BO list. It's not exactly a country, it's a continent. Africa. And number 1, have you guessed it yet? India. According to Indian surveys, a significant majority of respondents do not use deodorants or do not use them regularly and blame the expensive price of the products because India has one of the highest rates of poverty in the world. So deodorants are a luxury item. Also, if you've ever been to India or been to an Indian restaurant, you know the spices and cuisine have an overpowering odor. Hey, I like Indian food. I lived in England a while, and so I'd go to a good Indian restaurant once a week at least. By the way, Brits will tell you, white Brits, all Brits will tell you, their number one favorite fast food is Indian curry carryout. Whereas, you know, in the rest of the first world, it's all about fast food, processed, greasy burger chains. The reality, Indian food is definitely better for your health. The Brits know it, they're used to it. Whereas Americans, they'll never learn. By the way, as a world traveler myself, some of the smelliest human beings I've ever met were taxi or Uber drivers. In fact, on many Uber trips where you rate the guy, I put down the guy stinks. Does it matter? I doubt it. I'm talking about that toxic mixture of halitosis and BO. I say there ought to be a discount for pain and suffering. So that's the list, the top 20 countries rated by BO. So why did I even go through all that, except to have a little outrageous fun? Well, because if you were paying attention, you'd notice not a single Latin American country showed up on that list. Not one. Yet Latin America is a hugely popular destination for tourism. Now, as far as BO and other nasty odors I've encountered myself here in Latin America, as you longtime listeners know in a past show, I'd mentioned I've talked to Latino dentists about the prevalence of halitosis in men. And every last one of them will admit that Latin American men almost never floss. The women, yes. The men, no. Well, gay men do. But Latin American men, they just can't be bothered. Macho men don't floss. I think that should be a t-shirt or a bumper sticker. Macho men don't floss. Along with a photo of a toothless macho man. But as far as actual BO, I've noticed that even in the hottest Latin American countries, where people are working daily in the hot sun, on roofs, pouring concrete, digging trenches, etc., I've noticed Latin Americans don't even seem to sweat that much. It's us gringos, expats, and tourists that have trouble with the heat. Funny thing, too, when you're at low elevations, it's the gringos and expats who bitch when the air conditioning goes out. Not Latinos, they just grin and bear it. Speaking of good and bad personal hygiene, one of the problems you see down here a lot in Latin America, and it doesn't seem to happen up in the States much at all, is people coming down with amoebic dysentery. And man, is that nasty, though you can knock it out in 2 or 3 days with a couple of simple pills that every pharmacist has on hand. And you know, a friend of mine who's an emergency room doc here in Latin America, a lot of you expat insider guys met him at Aurora Hospital in Guatemala City. He gives a tour there when I bring my seminar people through. Anyway, I asked him, what's all this with so many people having parasites and amoebas? He said, that's easy. Bad habits. Like, for example, guys, especially guys, licking their fingers when they turn pages in a book or flipping pages in a newspaper. He said, just go to McDonald's or Burger King or Taco Bell. Every morning you'll see the newspaper sitting on the counter where the people are eating. They'll pass that newspaper around. So a dozen or so or a couple of dozen people will get to read that paper during the day. And it's paper to burger to fingers to mouth. Paper to burger to fingers to mouth. Just look around when you're at a fast food restaurant. People lick their fingers. He said that's a bad and unhygienic habit, licking your fingers when they've got food residue on them. Worse yet is people, mostly guys again, licking their fingers to count money. That's an even worse unhygienic habit. And though I'm seeing less and less Americans engaging in that gross habit, it doesn't seem to have diminished here in Latin America, especially with the old-timers. Then again, they ain't dead yet. And let's not even talk about the bathrooms, leaving the toilet seats up for one, when you flush. Worse yet, guys with beards. They don't know it, but they've still got pieces of the last meal and even yesterday morning's breakfast in there. And guys with beards are always touching, stroking, or scratching their faces, too. Even if you don't have facial hair, try counting the number of times you touch your face or eyes. You'll lose count. And women, they use the same makeup and hairbrushes over and over again and let friends and relatives borrow and use them too. By the way, here's something I've noticed. There's a huge correlation, believe it or not, to what a person pays for rent and the number of hours in a day his municipal water supply is turned on or off. The lower the rent, the more hours in a day it's turned off, and the slower the flow or volume. The slower the flow, the less hand washing. And speaking of poor hygiene here in lower middle class and even some middle class homes, they have a bucket of water next to the sink. That's the rinse water for dishes. It sits there all day and gets rather murky as the day wears on and more dishes are rinsed in it. And then the plates and forks and knives are set in a rack to dry. But what's the microscopic dry layer that remains after they're air dried? Oh, and by the way, you might think I'm a bit anal and a bit of a clean freak, but the thing that grosses me out, does this sound a bit anal? Blowing out birthday cake candles. You know what you're really saying, right? Go ahead, blow your spit all over this cake and then cut it up and let everyone take a piece of it. You know, a while back, I was talking about that birthday cake thing with expat Eddie. He's had a few restaurants in his day. And when people have birthdays, you know, the staff goes over with a piece of cake and sing happy birthday. Better yet, a cupcake, says Eddie. Now, that's hygienic. A cupcake for everyone. Maybe that's why they invented cupcakes. So all you do is blow your spit on your own piece of cake. Are you grossed out yet? How about this? Have you been to a restaurant or even at a party with lots of kids around? Some kid will always have a snot bubble hanging from his nose, trying to touch you or someone else with the sticky fingers. Reminds me of this kid from primary school, Mr. J.H., you know who you are. A kid who unabashedly would eat his boogers, especially in wintertime. You know, in Chicago, you get that post-nasal drip occasionally in that cold, cold weather. Man, that kid, J.H., was so gross. He was the guy in my class, even the bullies wouldn't mess with him for fear of being smeared. How about you, when you were in grade school or junior high, who was your booger man? And why was it always a guy? Never heard of a girl doing that, always a guy. But we were talking about parasites and amoebas, right? Again, this might sound anal, but it drives me nuts when I see a waiter bring a plate of food with his thumb looped over the edge, right on the eating surface. You know, waiters will often do that when they're carrying two or three plates at a time. Sometimes with the thumbnail digging right into the rice or mashed potatoes. Hungry yet? Oh, and here's another super unhygienic thing that gives me the creeps. Like when you see a mom in a restaurant or a store somewhere spit on the hanky and wipe the dirt or the ice cream off their kid's face with it. That bother you or just me? And why is it always a lady, a mom, who does that? Never a dad. Yeah, this might be too anal too, but that's why I don't have a gym membership. Sweaty people touching and sitting on everything? I'm not into that. Besides that, gyms always smell like fresh ass. Even when I had Gold's Gym as a sponsor for one of my radio shows, for 4 years, they gave me a free membership. I only went for special events, like when Lou Ferrigno made appearances. I'd MC the events, but I wouldn't sit on any of the equipment. I can't imagine spending 20, 30, 40, even 50 bucks a month to sit on a seat that's got someone else's, or maybe 10, someone else's sweaty ass prints. Am I too anal? Probably. That goes for going to the cinema, too. I almost never go. One reason, those cloth cinema seats are saturated with sticky permanent organic stains. And how about when people come over or you go over to their house and they set their kids or themselves on the kitchen countertop, sometimes your kitchen countertop, or people who kiss dogs on the face or let them lick you in the face. I know. Their saliva is probably cleaner than yours. I believe that's been proven, but still. You know, I've had dogs. I like dogs. But even worse, people who let their cat or dog sleep in bed with them, especially since the last thing you do before you go to bed is let the dog outside to poop. And where does he go to poop or pee? In that yard that's got weeks or even months worth of poop landmines. Then you let him in and he jumps right up on that bed and snuggles with you, right? Thing is, I've always had dogs. They did their thing outside too. They had a doggy door, but they were never allowed on the second floor of the house where the bedrooms were. Plus, when they came in the house through the doggy door, they'd sit there and wait for the signal to progress any farther into the house. And that signal was a wipe on each paw from a fresh towel. Yep, my dogs were very well behaved. In fact, Latino visitors who saw my dogs in action, even my cleaning ladies and maintenance guy, couldn't believe the dogs were that obedient. Though, since in Latin America, I never saw a Latino's dog trained up beyond being housebroken. That's about the limit. So for a Latino to see any kind of obedience training in a dog at all, it seemed to them a minor miracle. Oh, and here's a conundrum. Maybe you guys and gals out there know the answer to this. I've had girlfriends and sisters and my mother and practically all the women folk. They say it's rude to use a toothpick in public or in a restaurant. So then why do they give out toothpicks in restaurants? Most restaurants have dispensers with 100 or so toothpicks in them sitting right on the table. But you're not supposed to use one in public. It's rude. Never could figure that one out. Oh, and it's a guy thing, too, using toothpicks, right? Can't remember ever seeing a lady use one. Certainly not here in Latin America. All right, here's an email from Jacqueline. She says, Johnny, I know you're from Chicago. I teach in the Chicago public schools. And why I'm not dead or pronounced crazy yet, I don't know. However, I have a sister who's a much freer spirit than I am. She has lived and taught in Costa Rica. And we talk on WhatsApp quite a bit and compare notes. Now, Johnny, I know you don't approve of Costa Rica, but for her, she considered it a great experience to get a job in a foreign country. Her big takeaway is how well she is treated there by the kids and the parents and the general public. A triple win, if you ask me. She tells me the parents of her students treat her with so much respect, almost like a dignitary. They invite her to dinner and weekend events. They truly appreciate what she does and show it. She teaches at one of those bilingual helicopter schools you've also talked about, Johnny. Anyway, one day when she was teaching science, she mentioned in the class that someday she wanted to have her own bees and make her own honey. And guess what? A week later, a parent from a kid in her class showed up at her school saying he had a farm with some beehives and was going to send a worker over to her little house and set her up with a few colonies of bees and the materials to get her started. My sister is now a teacher and a beekeeper with 4 colonies. In a year or so, she says she'll have her own little boutique honey brand, too, that she will be selling on the internet. Come on. Like something like that would ever happen in a million years to a teacher in Chicago or anywhere else in the USA? I mentioned we trade stories. After hearing a few of mine, she told me she'll never teach in the US. She's also heard many of the same stories from other American teachers who taught in the States and have escaped to Costa Rica, teaching school there as well. They all know the horror stories of teaching in the US, the lack of respect, the insults from the kids, the rudeness and unaccountability, the chaos, the disinterested parents, the infighting between the district, the teachers, and the administrators, the politics. The downside, of course, is my sister gets about a third of the pay of a public school teacher in the United States, a deal breaker for me. But my sister seems very happy and has enough money to travel a bit. Locally, that is. She doesn't make enough to travel back and forth to the States. But what price can you put on happiness? And another thing, she says that at parent-teachers conferences, every kid has a parent that shows up. Sometimes both parents show. She says at the last parent-teacher conference, she had 5 personal Sunday dinner invites from parents. And at Christmas, she got wrapped presents from nearly every single kid. I thought, she's got to be exaggerating, but no. She sent me the pictures. Anyhow, my free-spirited sister isn't married and has no kids. So she was easily able to accept a teaching job out of the country. I would have loved to have done so too when I was a young ideologue teacher. But I'm so burnt out now I can only hope I can last till retirement. By the way, Johnny, most of the teaching staff here in my school in Chicago are burnt out too. More than half are either seeing a shrink or are on antidepressants. I'm only 48 and on 2 prescriptions myself. Anyhow, Johnny, I just thought you'd like to hear a story with a happy ending. For my sister, that is. As for me, as they say, I'm living for the weekend, just putting in my time till retirement. By the way, I both love and hate your show. Signed, Jacqueline. P.S. I started listening to your show because my sister in Costa Rica told me to tune in. She says you have a pretty big following in Costa Rica, even though you don't recommend it. She says you're an acquired taste, a podcaster we love to hate. But still, we keep listening.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.